It's good to see all of you. Welcome to our guests tonight. Well, brethren, a couple of weeks ago, we spent many days rejoicing at the Feast of Tabernacles. And God blessed us so we could enjoy our second tithe. God wanted us to rejoice. But more importantly, God wanted us to rejoice as we acted out a future span of time in which Satan and the demons would be bound and humanity would thrive. And that span of time being the millennial reign under Jesus Christ with us helping him. And for humanity to thrive, true worship of God will have to be restored. And we as future kings and priests will have a large impact on humanity and the world tomorrow. As kings and priests, we will be doing many things to aid humanity. So what should we be preparing for during this age, which is today, knowing that our role will be in the kingdom to come? And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at many aspects of what it meant to be a priest in the Old Testament. And we'll glean from those examples and see how it applies to us as we prepare for our roles in the kingdom. So the title of this split sermon is Parallels Between the Priests of Old and Us as Priests in the Kingdom. So Parallels Between Priests of Old and Us as Priests in the Kingdom. So let's crack our Bibles open. My dad used to tell me that. Crack it open, blow the dust off, as if I never used it. But I know you use it. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we'll look at verse 6. It says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we're going to be priests of God and Christ. And we have to prepare for that today. Every day of our lives we need to be preparing to be a priest. And so there's many different things that a priest in the Old Testament had to do and had to be. And we'll look at those today. But first, let's see who can actually be a priest. Let's see who could be a priest in the Old Testament. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Let's look at verse 10. It says, "So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." So here only those of Levi, and at that particular time those of the house of Aaron, could be priests of God. No outsider could be a priest of God. And we remember John chapter 6, verse 44, where it says, memory scripture. Every time I want to cite a memory scripture up here, my memory goes blank. So I'm going to turn to it, but you don't have to. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So looking at the church, no outsider, apart from anybody new that God calls, can be a part of his church. Nor can anybody outside of the church be a part of the future priesthood that God is sanctifying today. And as God sanctified priests for himself centuries ago, he is sanctifying today those of us in his church to be priests in the kingdom. And today, anybody called, chosen, and faithful can be a future priest of God. Now, I hope you have a bunch of bookmarks. We're going to bookmark Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Chronicles. So hold your place in all those books. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. We're going to look at some of the specific things that a priest did in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 23, let's look at verse 13. "The sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever, that he should sanctify the most holy things, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to give blessing in his name forever." So four things are listed there that the priest would do. They sanctified the most holy things. They burned incense before the Lord. They ministered before the Lord, and they gave blessing in God's name. So what does it mean when the priests burn incense before the Lord? We'll jot down Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Because there it tells us that incense is a type for prayers. So the way we burn incense today is figurative. We pray for our brethren, and we pray for humanity in general. And a lot of brethren need prayers. That's one of the way we burn incense before God. And another thing a priest would do is he would minister. And if you go look at the Hebrew word for minister in that chapter, in that verse, it can mean to serve. So we minister all the time today. We minister by serving. We can serve many ways. Sometimes we sign cards for the feast shut-ins. Prayer is also service. When we visit our brethren in need, the figurative prisons that they stay in, that's a type of service for them. And let's look at Matthew chapter 25, more information on what it means to minister or to serve. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 36. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." So those are all types of service that we can do now to prepare for our role as priests in the future. Now, since you marked your place in Exodus, let's go back to Exodus. Well, we'll go there for the first time. Exodus chapter 29. And this whole chapter in Exodus is about the consecration of the priests. Different things that were needed to make them priests. We won't read the whole chapter, but we'll read verses 1 through 3. "And this is what you shall do to them, to all of them, for the ministering to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams." So just note the symbolism here. We have unleavened bread, which symbolizes living a life apart from practicing sin. Unleavened cakes mixed with oil. Again, living a life apart from sin, but we're led by the Holy Spirit. Unleavened wafers and anointed with oil. There's also a sin offering. The bull was a sin offering. So we in the church today, as we train to be priests, we have to put sin out of our lives. We have to live lives apart from practicing sin. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to be anointed by God and Jesus Christ to become a priest, to perform those functions. And we know Jesus Christ was taken outside the camp as a sin offering, just like the bull in Exodus 29 right there. We couldn't be priests of God without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's look at what a priest wore back then and see how that compares to today. So Exodus chapter 40. Exodus 40. Let's look at verse 12. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water, and you shall put the holy garments on Aaron. Verse 14, you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. So what does all that mean? What's that clothing mean? Well, clearly Aaron and his sons had to wear different apparel than the rest of the Israelites. People would look at the priests and notice they were priests right away because they had different apparel on. And for those of us in God's church, we're going to put on new apparel one day. We have to figuratively put it on with righteous acts, but let's turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19 tells us what kind of apparel we need to be putting on and what we will put on later. Revelation 19, let's look at verse 8. And it says, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So we're going to wear fine linen, clean and bright later. But those garments signify our victory over this world and over sin. So we're going to be putting on new apparel, and we can practice that now by living lives without sin, without practicing sin. And like I said earlier, to be priests of God, we will have to be anointed by God in Jesus Christ. And you can look at Exodus chapter 29 for that. But this anointing has already occurred in part because we have the Holy Spirit. But there may be another anointing at some point in the future. And it just doesn't tell us exactly in the Bible yet, but the priests of old had to be anointed as well. But let's turn back to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28, and let's look at verse 8. And the intricately woven band of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and then fine woven linen. And verse 15, you shall make the breastplate of judgment, artistically woven, according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. So remember, we just read Revelation 19, verse 8, that talked about the fine linen. It's not a coincidence that it talks about it that way. God sees us as future priests for him, and we're going to wear fine linen. Let's turn a few pages over to Exodus 39. And this whole chapter is about the priestly garments. The whole chapter is dedicated to what the priest is supposed to wear. But we're not going to read every verse in this chapter today. I know that could be dry, but there's a key verse. Let's look at verse 30. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote on it an inscription like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. So the priest would wear this big turban on his head, and they would have a plate they need to put on that turban, and the plate would say holiness to the Lord. And people would see that and say, well, this priest is supposed to be holiness to the Lord. And we as future priests of God are to be holiness to him. We're to be set apart to do the work of God. And again, we're supposed to be set apart to live lives apart from practicing sin. People are supposed to see us as set apart. We're different than everybody else. Leviticus chapter 21. Let's look at Leviticus 21. We'll look at verses 6 through 8. This is concerning the conduct of a priest. So what kind of conduct did the priest have, and what are we supposed to have today? Verses 6 through 8. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God, for they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Therefore you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I am the Lord who sanctify you. I am holy. So the priests were supposed to be holy, and we're supposed to be examples to the people on holy conduct. And we're supposed to do the exact same thing today as part of God's church. Now let's look at some roles of the priests in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. We'll look at verse 5, some roles of the priests of old and what our roles are today and really in the future. Verse 5, then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord. By their word, every controversy and every assault shall be settled. And in Deuteronomy chapter 17, a few pages back, Deuteronomy chapter 17. And we'll look at verses 8 through 10. If a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge, between degrees of guilt for bloodshed, between one judgment or another, or between punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to judge there in those days and inquire them. They shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. And I'll stop right there. So one of the jobs of the priest was to settle controversies and assaults and the things that are too difficult for the common people to judge between. And we're supposed to be doing that today as future priests of God to help us in our role in the future. We're supposed to be practicing this right now, especially among each other. And remember, God's called us to be peacemakers. In Matthew 5:9, we don't have to turn there, but God says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." But we will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You probably remember this section. Because here Paul tells us that we're supposed to practice judging with each other now and not take each other to court. And in verse 1 he says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more of things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated?" And I'll stop there. So Paul's telling us here that I wonder if he had the role of the ancient priests in mind when he said this, because clearly we're supposed to be practicing judging matters pretty difficult now between ourselves. What Paul's saying there prepares us for our role as priests in the kingdom. If we can do it now, we can do it in the future. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 10, one of the other things a priest should do. This one's pretty obvious. Almost goes without saying, Leviticus 10. But I'll state it anyway, just for record. Leviticus 10 and verse 11. "That you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses." So basically, one of the jobs of the old priest was to teach people the laws, statutes, and judgments of God. And as future priests in God's kingdom, we will be doing this to a large degree. We're going to teach a humanity separated from God how to keep God's laws and the importance of it. And we can also do this now with family, and if they're open to it. We can't force it, but we can definitely see doors opened and help that way. Now here's a big one. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This chapter talks about Hezekiah and how he restored worship. So Judah had backslid into idolatry, and Hezekiah restored worship, or at least attempted to, and it lasted for a short time. In verse 34, "But the priests were too few so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore, their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests." This is sort of a bad example that we can learn from. So when Hezekiah restored worship of God and reopened the temple, the priests had work to do, yet they weren't as zealous as their Levite brethren at sanctifying themselves for this work. So the point here is, for us to be preparing for our future role as priests, we have to be zealous for God. We have to be zealous for the work that He wants to do, and we have to be zealous for preparing our spiritual houses right now. We have to clean up our lives. In Leviticus chapter 24, Leviticus chapter 24. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for light, to make the lamps burn continually." So the priests were in charge of making sure the lamps of the tabernacle burned all the time. So we as future priests of God in His kingdom are in charge of making sure the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, burns hot in us at all times. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, because Jesus Christ has something to say about zeal as well. Revelation 3. And let's look at verse 19, talking about the church at Laodicea, the lukewarm church. They weren't hot or cold. So Jesus Christ says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent." So he tells us to be zealous as well. He told us in the Old Testament, he tells us again today. And he has to tell some of us in the church that because some of us just aren't zealous enough to prepare for our role as priests. Now let's look at Nehemiah chapter 10. That's earlier in the Bible, right after Chronicles. Nehemiah chapter 10. Now let's look at verse 34. So this is a time when Judah had backslid on the laws of God. So God had to send them into captivity, and then they came back. This is the book. This is one of the books written where they're back. They're just coming back. And in verse 34, we cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for bringing the wood offering into the house of our God according to our fathers' houses at the appointed times year by year to burn on the altar of the Lord our God as it's written in the law. What that's really saying is the priests, after being gone for 70 years in captivity, they came back and they burned that fire again because that fire was supposed to burn continually, like we were reading earlier. So they took a hiatus off from burning that fire because they were in captivity, but part of it was their fault. They just took a hiatus off being a priest for God, and then they led the people astray, and then they had to go into captivity. We're not supposed to take a hiatus from worshiping God and from being zealous for God and for the work, and for the work in our lives, most importantly. We know some in Revelation, like the church at Sardis, the dead church in Laodicea, they take hiatuses off from being zealous for God. But we're not supposed to be that way if we want to be a priest of God in the future. Now let's look at some bad examples in the New Testament on priests. Things that we're not supposed to do, but we can certainly learn from. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. So then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So Judas went to the chief priests, and the priests actually wanted to kill Jesus Christ, but they're supposed to be emulating Jesus Christ. So that's a bad example. The chief priests had totally gone astray. The priest wanted to kill the one they were supposed to be trying to emulate. And then a few verses later, verse 47, let's look at verse 47 here. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests. So later on it's told that he came from the chief priests. So the chief priests gave him the authority to go capture Jesus Christ. Again, that's a bad example. We're supposed to imitate Jesus Christ, not anything else, as the Bible tells us. And then Luke chapter 23. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23. Let's look at verses 18 and 19. And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder." So Barabbas was a murderer, and all the chief priests were there. They wanted to release a murderer rather than releasing Jesus Christ. That's totally backwards. And again, we're not supposed to be backwards. We're supposed to put God and Jesus Christ first in our lives. And these priests did not fulfill the intent of their role. And as future priests of God, we are not to get on a power trip. We have to stamp pride out of our lives. Now, these priests at the time of Christ were puffed up with pride. They loved power. And we have to be the opposite of that. Now, let's look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Another bad example. Let's look at verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So these priests didn't want to be defiled for the Passover. But the irony here is that they already were defiled because they had the intent to murder their high priest, Jesus Christ. So that is, it's kind of crazy. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let's drop down to verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. He stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." In verse 31, "Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." And we just read Matthew 25 that said we're supposed to serve those in need. And this priest, supposed to be an example for the people, passed by on the other side and didn't help somebody in their need. It's another bad example. But we as future priests of God are called upon to help those in their time of need. And it may be inconvenient, but it's the right thing to do, and we should want to do it as well. Another point here that priests are supposed to do is they're not supposed to defile themselves. And Ezekiel chapter 44, a quick example on that one. Ezekiel chapter 44. Now this scripture is talking about physical, certain for sure physical priests in the millennium, a time in the future, but there's also the spiritual time behind it. Ezekiel 44 and verse 25. Talking about the priests, "They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person." And I'll stop right there. So we see that the priest is not supposed to defile himself by coming near a dead person, not to touch a dead body. And we as future priests of God are not to defile ourselves by touching our old dead man. The person that died in that watery grave a long time ago at our baptism. We're not supposed to defile ourselves by going back to what we did before our conversion process started. Another thing that priests would do is they would reorient worship of God. They would make sure the people, or try to get the people back to worshiping God. So 2 Chronicles 35 is an example. 2 Chronicles 35. And this is a section of scripture that talks about how Josiah, I think is how they say it, he reformed the worship in Judah at that time, because again, Judah had backslid. It's a different time than when Hezekiah brought reforms. But King Josiah, again, was king of Judah, and he restored worship of God, at least to a certain degree for a certain amount of time. And 2 Chronicles 35, verse 11, "They slaughtered the Passover offerings. The priests sprinkled the blood with their hands while the Levites skinned the animals. Then they removed the burnt offerings that they might give them to the divisions of the fathers, houses of the lay people to offer to the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses." So they did with the cattle. They roasted the Passover offerings. And in verse 14, "They prepared portions for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busy in burnt offerings and fat until night." So they were getting back into the routine of doing what they were supposed to be doing according to the ordinances that Moses put out centuries earlier. So as future priests of God, we're going to be instrumental in helping Jesus Christ reform the world into correct worship of God. We're going to be instrumental in helping the people of the world understand that Jesus Christ is our sacrifice that covers our sins. Let's look at Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. And we'll look at verse 30. Look at verse 31 instead. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it. Whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed. So the priests would have to wash themselves before they came to the altar to do the work of God. And we are to wash ourselves of sin before we approach God and do His work as well. So, brethren, in conclusion, how do we prepare now to fulfill our future roles as kings and priests of God in the kingdom to come? And we saw many examples. We serve our fellow man, especially those of the household of faith. We have to put on the apparel of righteousness now, because we're going to put on the real apparel, the fine linen, later. Our conduct must reflect God and Jesus Christ in our lives. We must ask for and be given the wisdom to settle difficult matters. We must not defile ourselves with false religion and our old dead man that died in that watery grave. And one of the most important things, we must be zealous for God if we're going to be a priest for Him in the future. So let's remember to do and be these things all year long so we can become more prepared for our future offices that are changed at the seventh trumpet blast.